Well, happy Mother's Day. We're so glad that you're here to honor the Lord today and recognize He is the great blesser. He has blessed us with so many things, one of which is our godly mothers. And so today, we want to surely do that. And really, we typically give out a carnation to each lady here today just to recognize them and make them feel special. That tradition really started 112 years ago today. A lady named Anna Jarvis, in a memorial service as she was honoring her mother, she gave a carnation, which was her mother's favorite flower, to every person in attendance, really to let them know how special they were too. And so that tradition kind of built some steam in the larger cities. They began to pass out carnations on Mother's Day. And then Woodrow Wilson finally declared that a national day of recognition on the second Sunday of May. And so as a nation, we do that. We recognize our mothers. And I just want you to also understand that it really didn't come from Anna Jarvis, but long before that in the Word of God, He gave us a commandment to honor our mothers. Exodus chapter 20, when Moses was given the Ten Commandments, one of those commandments was honor your father and mother. Then the Apostle Paul sometime later writes this, which mimics those words, honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with a promise. You'll find again in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 2. And so today we just recognize those godly women that have given us so much, and we want to say thank you for that. I've asked Mary Ann to say a prayer for all those ladies too.
When Paul first asked me to say a prayer for the mothers, I was so hesitant, but then the Lord reminded me that that was His first call to ministry for me. The desire to be a mother is what helped me to become a teacher, and I've looked to the Lord for guidance ever since. So today I want to pray for mothers. Will you bow your heads and pray with me? Father, I come to You today to lift up all the mothers, those that will be mothers, those that are fulfilling their roles right now, and those that have been a blessing in the past. For the mothers to be, help them see the importance of their role in Your plan. Guide their paths to find a godly husband that will establish a God-fearing home and will love You, them, and their children with all that He is. For in this example, their children will see and be drawn to You. For the mothers that are walking in the role that You have called them to right now, I ask that You give them wisdom, remind them and encourage them that their time in this season is very short. Help them focus on raising and nurturing the children's hearts to know and serve You. Help them to prioritize their relationship with You by spending time in Your Word, praying, and surrounding themselves with godly mentors. For Father, we know that our children learn best and mostly from the example set before them. Finally, Lord, we give You thanks and praise for the godly women You've placed in all of our lives, those that have sacrificed themselves and their desires for our benefit, those that have modeled for us Your unconditional love. Help us to follow in their footsteps that the next generation will know You. As John wrote in 3 John verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Well, we sure appreciate you ladies. Thank you, Lord, for Your faithfulness. And we just ask that you have a great and happy day. Happy Mother's Day. Well, happy Mother's Day. We're so glad that you're with us today to worship in spirit and truth and recognize one of the great blessings we have, and that is our mothers. And today we come just to understand that and recognize and see from God's Word those great blessings that she is to us. And really the blessing she'll have herself when she stands before the Lord. And so I'd like to read to you a passage that I've read often on Mother's Day. It's Proverbs 31, speaking about a virtuous woman. So let me read that to you, Proverbs 31, beginning in verse 10. The Bible says this, who can find a virtuous woman, for her price is far above rubies? The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax, and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like a merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She rises also while it is yet night, and gives meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field, and buys it. With the fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength, and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle, and her hands holdeth the staff. She stretcheth out her hands to the poor, yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her house who are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself a covering of tapestry. Her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen and selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchants. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in the time to come. She openeth her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children arise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excelleth them all. Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. Let's pray. Father, we come before you. We thank you, Lord, for your word that gives us direction and guidance and hope and understanding. Lord, we thank you for that blessing of mothers and those godly women that have been in our lives. Lord, I pray today that we would encourage them and praise them and lift them up, recognizing they're a gift from you. Lord, I pray for myself right now that you give me unction to speak, that you let me say those things that are needful and those things that would encourage, those things that would cause us to be a different people. Thank you, Lord, for the promise. When your word is read, it will not come back void. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. Well, we all had those godly mothers that loved us and cared about us. Well, I heard about a mother that was concerned for her son going off to college. So she wrote this letter to the college president, and here's what it said. Dear sir, my son has been accepted for admission to your college and will soon be leaving me. I'm writing to ask that you give your personal attention to the selection of his roommate. I want to be sure that his roommate is not the kind of person who uses foul language or tells off-color jokes or smokes or drinks or chases girls. I hope you will understand why I'm appealing to you directly. You see, this is the first time my son will be away from me except for the 3 years he spent in the Marine Corps. Now, I truly like that. Isn't that like our mothers? They want the very best for us and think the best of us. They're like those virtuous ladies the Bible speaks about. Well, the Bible says that who can find a virtuous woman? That word virtuous, we need to look at it for a moment. It is chaiel in the Greek, and it does mean virtuous, but it can mean strength or capable or excellent. But it's also sometimes translated as an army. I'm saying that because sometimes when you read this passage, you think it'd take an army of people to do all the things this virtuous lady does. Well, just have hope and understand God's going to strengthen you to do that. The psalmist said, my help comes from the Lord, which made the heavens and the earth. Philippians 4:13 says, I can do all things through Christ Jesus, which strengthens me. And so my title today is, don't be a Proverbs 30 woman, really be a Proverbs 31 woman. I got that title line from a man that said, I married a Proverbs 30 woman. I said, don't you mean a Proverbs 31 woman? He said, no, she's almost a 31, but she's still just a 30. So don't be that. Be the 31 woman. So notice some things about this passage that speak to this Proverbs 31 woman, a virtuous woman. One, she is devoted to her husband. Let me read verses 10 and 12 again. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need of spoil. She will do good and not evil all the days of her life. I want you to see, to begin with, there's a priority for her husband. A priority for her husband. It's not a mistake that the first thing that the Lord mentions about this woman is this idea that their husband can safely trust in her. Now, it is a given that her first priority is the Lord, but after that comes her husband. And I want you to recognize the uniqueness there. It starts with this priority of a bond. Before her children, her husband. Before work, her husband. Before Facebook, her husband. Before anything, she is the Lord, love the husband right behind the Lord. It is a unique bond again, like no other. Genesis chapter 2, verse 24 says this, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall become one flesh. This oneness is, again, something so unique. It's this equality that we have in Christ Jesus. But notice an equality that puts the other first, that serves the other. Ephesians 5, 24. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. So the wife loves the husband and the husband loves the wife. There's a sense of sacrificial giving in these two pictures here. I want you to see that sometimes when I do marriage counseling or premarital counseling, I usually read those traditional vows to those that come in. And I see that the husband's vow and the wife's vow is a little different. And so the wife's vow has this that doesn't have the husband's in there. And it says this, I will honor and obey. Now, some may snarl at this idea that I've got to obey my husband, that I've got to obey what he says. But really, if that's the case, there's two problems. One, that your husband is not a sacrificial leader. He's not willing to lay down his life as Christ laid down his life for the church. He's not willing to put you before everything. Secondly, you are not sacrificially surrendering yourself as you should be. God has called us to be sacrificial, to put others first, to build our spouse up like no other. And so there should be a priority in the bond. But secondly, there's a priority in their affection. It says in verse 12, she will do good to him. She will do good to him and not evil all the days of her life. In other words, she is seeking the best interest of all for her husband, lifting him up. Now, this is the idea sometimes today we're a selfish people and we like to lift ourselves up. But this virtuous woman always puts her husband first, seeks good and not evil. If you go back a half a verse, it says this, so that he shall have no need of spoil. That word spoil in the Hebrew there is salal. It means to capture in wartime, to take by conquest, to defeat an enemy and take for prey what they have. So there's a picture there of the husband being content with a wife, not looking to conquest, not looking to take from somebody else. She gives herself to her husband. He is not looking for anything else. But also, not just being good, but also being friendly. Titus chapter 2 says this, verses 3 and 4, that the aged women, likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober and to love their husbands. Kind of a unique thing to say that to teach them to love their husbands, but it's not agape love that he's speaking about or eros. It's philandros. It's the word to be brotherly or to be friendly. Now, I'm telling you, I've seen some couples that say they are in love, but they act like they can't stand each other. And I know maybe in this social isolation that you've been stuck with your spouse a long time might be kind of getting a belly full of them. But recognize God wants you to get along and be friendly. I saw on Facebook the other day about these two couples, and the wife was saying, can you blink any quieter, please? And so they had a belly full. We need to recognize that God wants us to have a good marriage, a happy marriage, a friendly marriage. And it comes with this idea of priority, building your spouse up. Well, there's a sense of priority, but also she's a pillar. She's safely trust in her. The heart of her husband does safely trust in her. The idea, there's a sense of security and love. So the husband feels a sense that he can surely trust. She is a confidant and a friend. And we find in the Bible that wives are important for so many things, but especially in ministry. 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 2 mentions this, a bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife. 1 Timothy 3, verse 12, let the deacons be the husband of one wife. I'm telling you, there's a sense of doing ministry together like never before. How good it is to recognize to have a spouse that promotes you and picks you up and helps you. Well, notice verse 23. It speaks about promoting. He is known in the gates. So the question is, ladies, what do you say about your husbands to other people? Do you lift him up or cut him down? Are you proud when others talk good about him, or are you jealous? Somebody has said this, behind every good man, there's a good woman and a surprised mother-in-law. I've got a secret I want to tell you. You're married to an imperfect human being. They're going to mess up. They're going to fail. They're going to make mistakes. That's okay. It is your job to encourage and help and simply make the path what it should be. You're going to be an encourager or a stumbling block. I think about Job's wife. All she could say was, curse God and die. I think about Lot's wife. She wanted to look back rather than forward, and we know her story. I'm telling you, he needs your respect to build him up, not to nag him and bring him down. Matter of fact, the Bible speaks about those women that simply quarrel all the time. Proverbs 21:9, it is better to dwell in the corner of a housetop than with a brawling woman in a wide house. Proverbs 27:15, a continual dropping in a very rainy day and a contentious woman are alike. And so the idea is not to harass or nag or discourage, but to encourage in the right way, to build your spouse up. Well, guys, let me kind of turn to you for a minute. Verse 28 says, her husband should praise her. Let me read that verse. Her children rise up and call her blessed, her husband also, and he praises her. I wonder, do we do that as we should? Do we help our ladies? Do we build them up? Do we praise them like we should? Well, how can we praise them? Well, one, with our mouth. Take the time to say thank you for all she does. Brag on her in public. Tell her often what she does and how she means to you. Does she cook? Say thank you for that. What about the checkbook or the caretaker or the cleaner? What does she do? Whatever she does, you say thank you. Secondly, you ought to provide for her. Make a living. Don't be a bum. Get out there, get you a job, and work. The Bible speaks about providing for your family. It may be practical help around the house. Don't say, well, that's not my job to wash the dishes. That's how you say thank you, by doing those little things. It may be purchasing gifts on those special occasions like Mother's Day. It may simply promise and proclaim your love on a daily basis. Don't be like the guy, matter of fact, he was a church member years ago that said this. Because his wife complained that he never says that he loves me. And of course, his response was, I told you I loved you when I got married, and I told you if I changed my mind, I'd say that too. Don't be like that guy. Tell your wife, tell your spouse often how much you love her. Let me just give you some encouragement. You can do this in different ways. One, just in the butter dish, on the butter, right? I love you. You say, well, that's cheesy. No, that's buttery. Write those little things down. On the grocery list, all right, I love you. On the car keys, in the coffee cups, in the mirror on the bathroom, write those little notes, I love you. All it says is this, that you're important to me and I'm thinking about you. Send that little text to her day by day and let her know what you are thinking about her. How about this? Pray for her on a daily basis. You say, well, I don't know what to pray for. Well, she's living with you. There's one thing you can pray for right there. Ask her what to pray about. She'll give you some ideas. This virtuous woman, she is devoted to her husband. But secondly, notice this, not only devoted to her husband, but she is diligent to her household. Jump to verse 27. She looketh well to the ways of her household. I just want to tell you, I think we've lost that traditional model of stay-at-home moms. I'm not knocking that in one sense. I know we've been allured by possessions when trying to keep up with the Joneses. It takes two to earn a living these days. There's some things there. But there's also a negative side sometimes for those stay-at-home moms, like they don't do anything. Well, I'm reminded of a past generation that almost all ladies stayed at home. And this is a picture of maybe a day in the life of our grandmother. It says this, Grandma, on a winter's day, milked the cows and fed them hay, hitched the mule and drove the kids to school, did a washing, mopped the floors, washed the windows, and did some chores, cooked a dish of homemade dried fruit, pressed her husband's Sunday suit, swept the parlor, made the bed, baked a dozen loaves of bread, split some firewood and lugged it in, enough to fill the kitchen bin, cleaned the lamps and put in oil, stewed some apples before they spoiled, churned the butter, baked a cake, and then exclaimed, for goodness sake, when the calves ran from the pen and chased them all back in again, gathered eggs and locked the stable, back to the house and set the table, cooked a supper that was delicious, then washed and dried all the dirty dishes, fed the cat, sprinkled the clothes, mended a basket full of hose, then opened the organ and began to play, when you come to the end of a perfect day. I'm telling you, that lady was busy. And we need to recognize those stay-at-home moms, how busy they are doing all those things that tend to the children, to the household, and such things. Verse 13 says, she is a worker with her hands. Verse 14 and 15 gives you the idea that she gives meat to her household. She is not lazy, but a worker for her family. Somebody began to take the time to look at these stay-at-home moms and all the things they did. They said, well, she's a chauffeur, she's a gardener, a family counselor, a maintenance worker, cleaning woman, housekeeper, cook, errand runner, bookkeeper, budget manager, interior decorator, a dietitian, secretary, public relations person, hostess. And they begin to use this impressive list of things to come up with a figure of what they're worth a week. Well, in 1981, that figure was $785 a week. Probably today it would be over $1,000 per week. And so the thought was these ladies truly work hard, provide for the family, do great things sometimes that we simply take for granted. What she does means so much, we should try and say thank you day by day. She meets the needs of the household, not just material things, but also emotionally needs. Titus 2 again says this. At the end of verse 4 says, to love their children. Let me read that whole verse. That they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, to love their children. It is important to recognize the things that our mothers do for our children, the love given to the children that transform their lives. Theodore Roosevelt said this, when it is all said and done, it is the mother and the mother only who is the better citizen than the soldier who fights for his country. Why? Because the difference she makes in the lives of children as they grow up. We often hear about great men and the things they've accomplished. But really, it goes back to those formative years that really make the difference in their lives. One such guy is Thomas Edison. He had 1,093 patents, at one time was a record. He was the driving force behind the phonograph or the incandescent light bulb or one of the early motion picture cameras. Had all kinds of unique patents or unique inventions. But really, where did that come from? He would say his mother. When he was in school, Edison was called in and the schoolmaster said he was addled, he could not be taught. His mother became furious, took him out of school and proceeded to teach him at home. Here's what he said about that. He said, my mother was the making of me. She was so true and so sure of me, I felt I had something to live for, someone I must not disappoint. Who was greater, Thomas Edison or his mother? Well, she also provides for spiritual needs. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5 says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which first dwelt in thy grandmother Lois and my mother Eunice, I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Paul told Timothy that he saw his faith came from his mother and his grandmother. Why? Can you see the example those ladies set? A famous man once said, an ounce of mother is worth a ton of priest. And all this adds up to what it says, her children will rise and call her blessed. See the pattern? We find that her husband recognizes it, rises up and blesses her, but also her children rise and bless her. Well, here's the third thing I want you to see. She is devoted to her husband. She is diligent to her household. But thirdly, she has a desire to help the helpless in verse 20. She stretches out her hands to the poor, yea, she reaches forth her hands to the needy. The virtuous woman has a desire to help the less fortunate. Now, why is that? One, because she has perception of those needs. It is easy in this time and day to have a hard heart and turn from those that need it most and blame it on them or blame it on something else. But this virtuous lady, she overcomes a judgmental heart. She overcomes selfishness. Many times we don't help others because we think, well, if we help them, we won't have enough for us. The Proverbs writer says it like this, Proverbs 28:27. He that gives unto the poor shall not lack, but he that hides his eyes shall have many a curse. In other words, you can't outgive God. If you give to the poor, if you help the needy, God's going to supply. It will be okay. She's overcome her own pride, and she helps others. She practices true religion when she does this. She follows what James chapter 1, verse 27 says. Pure religion and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and the widows in their affliction. and to keep himself unspotted from the world. She has a desire to help those beyond the normal reach of others. She has a desire to help those that are truly hurting. I think about this church and the ministries that have been put in place by godly ladies that love others, that want to reach out. Many ministries started and continue because the heart of godly women had a desire to help those in need. How good that is. Well, here's the next point. She is devoted to her husband. She is diligent to her household. She has a desire to help the helpless. But lastly, she is dedicated to the Heavenly Father. Verse 30 says, "Favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised." That word fear in the Hebrew means to tremble, to humble yourself, to honor, to have great respect for. The virtuous lady became virtuous because she feared the Father, because she trusted Him for her guidance. And so it is today for a person of virtue today that we must be surrendered ourselves to recognize God as the one who saves, God is the one who changes, God who supplies all things. And then from that surrender, when you call upon Him, is to live a life of service. You'll see this lady does so many things for others, and that's why she's praised. And we find that by serving others, we serve the Lord above. It's simply a picture of sacrifice. It is a thing that we understand and recognize that it is God-given to a heart that wants to sacrifice for others. Again, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. Praised already, we've said, by her husband and by her children, but even more so, praised by the Lord. Jesus said in Matthew 25, verse 21, "His Lord said unto him, Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee a ruler over many things. Enter thou to the joy of thy Lord." Matthew 25, 40, "And the king shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto the least of these, my brethren, you have done it unto me." The greatest praise the virtuous woman will get when she stands before the Lord. And here's the words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." The greatest praise we will hear will be the same thing. To stand before the Lord Jesus and hear those words, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Well, I'm so thankful for our mothers. They've done so much. Somebody wrote this poem years ago. It goes like this. "My mother, your love, I know I've seen your tears. You've given me to my life. You walked through hours and days and years of heartache, toil, and strife to see that I can have the best that you could give to me. You gave up needs and often rest as you viewed eternity. To do His will, my highest call, and by your special care, I stood and walked and did not fall. You held me up in prayer. Though strands of gray may brush your hair and miles divide our way, I know that by your quiet prayer, you've helped me day by day. You've shown me how to give, to share, to put my own needs last. You've helped me see and be aware that life is so soon past. Despite your love, I would not dare, for there's not another who spreads her gentle love and care like you, my loving mother." I'm so thankful for those virtuous ladies that have loved us and helped us and encouraged us. Maybe you're here today and you've never felt that. I'm telling you, there's a Heavenly Father that wants you to feel loved by Him. He's given us the gift of those godly parents, those godly mothers. And today He wants to recognize that He wants to be your parent. He wants to give Himself to you. If you're here today and never made this call to the Lord, why not today? Why not say, "Father, save me"? He surely will. If you're here today and have been saved and you're not living that virtuous life, I'm telling you, God can change that around too. Why not call and seek Him and let your life be that life of that virtuous person that we find in the Word of God? Let's pray together. Father, again, we come before You. We thank You for all that You do for us and for the example of those virtuous ladies and how we can be a virtuous people ourselves. Help us to recognize it starts by Your love, mercy, and grace when we call upon You, for You've done all the work for us. Lord, I pray today that we would have a heart that yearns to be faithful in all things. Bless Your people. Bless Your word. Thank You for all this. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you made a decision today to accept the Lord as your personal Lord and Savior, or made a decision to walk more close with Him, we want to know about that. And if you can contact us and tell us about that on our Facebook page or our web page or the church office, we just want to pray with you and encourage you. We want to help you to draw closer to the Lord above. So contact us. We'll get back with you. May the Lord bless.